settlers near Jericho, the occupied West Bank. Lebanon's President Bashar al-Assad leaves the presidential palace at the end of his term amid continued uncertainty over his successor. In South Korea is reeling from a Halloween stampede that has killed more than 150 people, injuring dozens more in Seoul. Thanks for joining us. Israeli forces have killed another Palestinian, claiming that he carried out a car ramming operation near Jericho in the occupied West Bank. Israeli media have identified the man as 49-year-old Barkat Odeh from Eastern Al-Quds. Israeli police say that the driver first ran over some settlers near a village and then plowed into a bus stop, injuring some others. Reports say that he injured five people. The incident comes amid mounting tensions across the occupied West Bank. On Friday, a Palestinian shot dead at least one Israeli settler and injured four others in the city of Al-Khalil. Palestinians say that the attacks are in retaliation for Israeli occupation and aggression. From occupied Ramallah, Mona Kandil joins us now to tell us more about this. What can you tell us about what has occurred, Mona?
Well, as you have mentioned, first of all, the Israeli military claimed that they have shot and killed a Palestinian man, 49 years old Palestinian man, Barakat Musa Oudi from Al-Izari city near Al-Quds. They said that they shot and killed him, but then they said that he was seriously wounded. We can't tell if that he was killed or not, because at the end of the day, the Israeli forces took him, whether his body or took him with them. The Palestinian Ministry of Health didn't confirm his death or he was seriously wounded. Anyway, as you have said, a Palestinian man carried out a ramming attack occurred in two different junctions south of Jericho, also known as Ariha. According to Israeli military, this Palestinian driver first rammed into a number of Israeli soldiers who were waiting at the Nabi Musa junction, and then continued with his vehicle towards other soldiers, other area nearby area, standing at the Al-Mag intersection where he had a bus stop. We are speaking about five Israeli soldiers were wounded. This comes one day after a Palestinian man, Muhammad Kamal Al-Jabari from Al-Khalil, carried out a shooting at the entrance to the illegal settlement of Kiryat Arba in Al-Khalil, killing one Israeli settler and wounding four others. All the entrances to the city of Al-Khalil are completely closed. At the moment, Israeli military establishment is convening in order to decide what are the next moves to be taken. First, against the Palestinians living in Al-Khalil, and second, against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, because in recent days we were speaking about a number of...
Looks like we are or have lost you, Mona, unfortunately. Mona, are you with us right now?
Yes, I'm with you. Now I can hear you.
Okay, continue where you left off.
Oh, well, I don't know if you heard me. I said that the Israeli military establishment now is convening in order to decide what are the next moves to be taken against the Palestinians in the occupied West Bank city of Al-Khalil, as well as what are the next moves to be taken against the occupied West Bank as well. In recent days, we have spoken about a number of anti-Israeli operations in Jenin, in Nablus, in areas around Ramallah, yesterday in Al-Khalil, and today in Ariha. So Palestinians now removed from let's say anti-Israeli activities, and now we are speaking about resistance, armed resistance. This means very harmful to the Israelis, and they will not remain silent. It doesn't mean that they do not carry out crimes. This means that we would be witnessing more policies, more aggression against the Palestinians all over the occupied West Bank. And this comes only a few days before the next Israeli election.
When you take a look at the incidents that have happened in the past months, based on the way you see it, Mona, it appears, obviously, the numbers speak for themselves in terms of how many Palestinians have been killed. I believe it's over 150, if I'm not mistaken, or 100, I should say. I don't have the exact figures in the top of my head. But it seems like this type of number of incursions that Israel is conducting has definitely increased. And because of that, you're having the retaliation. And therefore, it's a repeated scenario. It's a cycle that's happening. And as a result, unfortunately, you're getting Palestinians who are reacting, and you're getting Israeli security forces who are also have increased the tempo in terms of, or the numbers of excursions that they've done. Do you feel that is that a correct way of looking at it?
Well, for the Israelis, they want to continue raiding and storming Palestinian areas on a daily basis, arrest Palestinians, confiscate more land, expand the Israeli settlements. At the same time, they don't want for the Palestinians to resist. They want them to accept what's going on as facts on ground. However, Palestinians, mainly in the recent few months, are fed up of these ongoing crimes and aggression against them. The anti-Israeli protests and demonstrations and the different forms of resistance have turned recently into armed resistance. They are facing the Israeli soldiers. They say that at the same time while the crimes are going on, the arrests are taking place every day. So the least would be ongoing resistance. The Israelis, of course, are angry of what's going on because they are a number of Israeli settlers and soldiers have been killed by Palestinian fighters. This has been forcing the Israeli settlers to go to the streets to protest against the Israeli regime and the Israeli cabinet. They don't want for this Israeli regime to continue. They say that they are not able to ensure security and safety of the Israeli settlers. They want for the Israeli soldiers to continue their raids on a daily basis to kill more Palestinians, knowing at the end of the day that none in the international community or the European Union will be holding those Israeli soldiers accountable. They would not be dragged into courts, or they would not be tried, knowing that they would be supported at the end of the day by the American administration. That's why their crimes are going on.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Mona Kandil from Occupied Ramallah. Thank you, Mona. Moving on to news from Lebanon, Lebanese President Michel Aoun has left the presidential palace one day before his term officially ends and amid a stalemate over who will succeed him. He delivered a farewell speech to a large crowd of his supporters who were gathering at the Babda Palace east of Beirut. He talked about the recent agreement with Israel to demarcate Lebanon's maritime borders. He said the deal secured the nation's access to its natural resources, adding that the future revenues should be used to repair the Lebanese economy. Aoun took office in the year 2016. The parliament has so far failed to agree on the successor during four recent voting sessions. Lebanon has also been without a prime minister for over a month. A presidential vacuum could deepen the political crisis in Lebanon, which is largely struggling against one of the worst economic meltdowns in the world. Sondos Al-Assad is a Lebanese journalist and human rights advocate. Earlier we asked her if there is any way out of the current crisis in Lebanon.
The way out of this crisis is the unity of all the Lebanese together and their work in order to stop the foreign intervention in the Lebanese affairs. You know that what's going on in Lebanon is a systemic war led by the West powers, and in addition to the role of the vicious role of the Persian Gulf regimes, that they are intervening in Lebanon's affair. President Michel Aoun has been able, I believe that he is the president who has been able to save Lebanon from various hazardous crisis, especially the these efforts to drive Lebanon into sedition. The president has been able to stress the role of the resistance in saving Lebanon and the role of the importance of the Lebanese being united all together, the army, the resistance, the people, in order to face this rampant corruption in all the institutions in Lebanon that have been happening for decades because of the role of the warlords, especially those politicians who are engaged with the Western powers, with the U.S. embassy and other Western powers.
Iranians continue to mourn the victims of a recent terrorist attack in the southern city of Shiraz. Earlier today in the city of Shiraz, crowds of people gathered in a big procession to bid farewell to six of the victims. A similar procession has been held in the nearby city of Yasuj, the hometown of two other victims. Similarly, on Saturday, thousands of mourners took part in a funeral in the northeastern city of Mashhad. On Wednesday, gunmen went on a rampage into the shrine in Shiraz, killing 13 worshippers, including women and children. Over two dozen others have been wounded. The assailant was injured by security forces and later died of his wounds in the hospital. The Daesh terrorist group has claimed responsibility. Iranian officials have pledged to bring those responsible to justice. The Daesh terrorist attack on worshippers in Shiraz has drawn reactions in Afghanistan, where a deadly attack on an education center in Kabul is still fresh in the minds of the Afghan people. They are expressing sympathy for Iranians, stressing the need for Islamic unity in the face of terrorism. More in this report from Kabul.
Wednesday's terror attack on Shah Cheragh Holy Shrine in Iran's city of Shiraz has saddened Iranians as well as many people around the globe. Among them, Afghans who have been bearing the brunt of blind terror attacks for years say the attack opened their old wounds. They say the tragic terror attack touched their hearts, and they share the grief of Iranian people.
I express my condolences to all Iranians, particularly those who live in Shiraz, for their losses in the terrorist attack on Shah Cheragh Shrine. I was shocked and saddened that innocent worshippers were killed there. I also express my sympathy with families of victims. Iran has not been only our neighboring country and a friend of Afghanistan, but also a second home for we Afghans.
Indeed, it was a horrific and exhausting attack. We strongly condemn it. We Afghans can feel how terrifying such attacks can be. Of course, the attack on innocent people saddened all informed and civilized people. I hope the perpetrators and organizers of the attack are brought to justice and punished.
Afghan experts and activists stress the need for global unity, especially among Muslims, against terror acts. They believe the enemies of Islam and Muslims try to destabilize the region by sowing discord among its inhabitants.
The important point about the terror attack in Iran is that some countries who claim to be superpowers, and we know them as arrogant, try to protect their hegemony in any way possible. One of their evil deeds has been plotting religious wars. In my opinion, the Shiraz attack was one of such conspiracies. I believe the Iranian people and all Muslims should be vigilant and informed, especially in the current situation.
The enemies of humanity and Muslims and the Takfiri groups are behind deadly attacks on Islamic sites. We Muslims should stand by each other in the face of such conspiracies, whether in Afghanistan or Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen or Egypt. We should support each other at times when others are just watching us suffer and even rub salt into our wounds.
At least 13 people, including two children, were killed after a gunman opened fire on pilgrims at the Holy Shrine in Shiraz. Dozens of others were also wounded. The Daesh terror group claimed responsibility for the attack. Many Afghans consider Iran as their second home. Today, people here express sympathy for Iranians, saying they stand with the neighboring nation of Iran. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
The South Korean president declares a period of national mourning. After a Halloween crush in the capital, Seoul leaves more than 150 people dead. Yoon Suk-yeol says the incident is a tragedy and a disaster in the heart of Seoul that should have never happened. At least 20 foreigners are among the fatalities. They include nationals from Iran, China, and Norway. The toll is expected to rise. Scores of people have also been injured, some of them critically. The stampede took place as South Koreans marked their first Halloween in 3 years, after the government lifted mask wearing and social distancing, COVID restrictions. Hundreds of revelers packed into an already crowded alley. People at the top of the sloped alley fell over, resulting in the rush. Most of the dead are women in their 20s. Polls have opened in Brazil for a tight presidential runoff, pitting the far-right incumbent Jair Bolsonaro against the leftist former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Both candidates sounded confident as they casted their ballots.
We've only had good news in the last few days. God willing, we will be victorious later today. Or even better, Brazil will be victorious later today.
Polls have consistently put Lula ahead of Bolsonaro, but a survey on the eve of the vote indicated that the lead had slightly narrowed. Lula has 52% of voter support compared to Bolsonaro's 48%. That means that the vote is too close to call. The majority of participants thought Lula outperformed Bolsonaro during the final debate on Friday night. Bolsonaro and his allies have attacked polling firms, accusing them of bias. They say that he outperformed pollsters' expectations in the first round. Lula came on top in the first round with 48% of the 5 percentage points more than Bolsonaro. To Somalia, where we now have an official estimate of the casualties of two car bomb attacks in the capital, Mogadishu. President Hassan Sheikh Mohammed says that at least 100 people were killed and 300 injured. After visiting the site of the blast, Mohammed said the number of the victims could rise. The Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility. First of the explosions hit the education ministry near a busy junction. The second occurred as ambulances arrived and people were gathering to help the victims. The attack took place at the same place as Somalia's largest bombing, which killed more than 505 years ago. Al-Shabaab has been fighting in Somalia for more than a decade, seeks to topple the government and to establish its own rule. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. ذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليه
ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, you know that we have reached this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. Imam Ali alayhi salam in this part says, Ya Mawlai, فَكَيْفَ يَبْقَى فِي الْعَذَابِ وَهُوَ يَرْجُو مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ حِلْمِكِ. My protector, how should he remain in the chastisement while he has hope for your previous clemency? أَمْ كَيْفَ تُؤْلِمُهُ النَّارِ وَهُوَ يَأْمُلُ فَضْلَكَ وَرَحْمَتَكِ. Or how should the fire cause him pain while he expects your bounty and mercy? أَمْ كَيْفَ يُحْرِقُهُ لَهِيبُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَسْمَعُ صَوْتَهُ وَتَرَى مَكَانَهُ. Or how should its flames burn him while you hear his voice, while you see his place? Earlier in the previous episode, we mentioned that we have many Quranic verses and traditions implying that the Almighty Allah has a vast ocean of mercy and for all the servants. But this vast ocean is for the one who intends, the one who truly wills and longs for reaching this kind of mercy. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمٍ. Nothing in Allah's presence is more valuable than Adam's progeny. إِلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He was then asked, O Messenger, aren't the angels as valuable as the human beings? Aren't they at least the same level? He stated, قال الملائكة مجبورون بمنزلة الشمس والقمر. The angels, just like the sun and the moon, are obliged to worship and glorify Allah. This means that the human beings have the blessings of freedom and will. Whenever the human beings use this freedom in performing Allah's orders, they would get subjected to His special mercy and benevolence.
My Lord, glory and praise be to you. Would you disregard the voice of a Muslim slave imprisoned in hell for his disobedience and imprisoned within its pits for his evil doings and misdeeds, crying out to you the cries of one who has faith in your mercy and calling out to you in the language of those who believe in your unity and seeking to approach you by means of your epithet.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So you have seen in different parts of the Kumail supplication the name of mercy, the name of clemency, the name of hope and staying hopeful, and instances that, as Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing in this part of the Kumail supplication, the person who is under chastisement, the person who is confined within the different levels of hellfire, is still hopeful for Almighty Allah's mercy. Now, in the Islamic sources, there is a key mentioned, an important key of mercy. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. Imam Ali says, supplication is the key of mercy. In his will to his son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib says, thereafter, He put the keys of his treasuries in your hand, and that he has allowed you to ask him from it. So whenever you wished, you opened the doors of his treasuries through supplication. The phrase, so whenever you wished, you opened the doors of his treasuries through supplication, has a clear indication to the kind of relation which exists between prayer and the response. And of course, this key of mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made ready for the servants. Supplication is that key by which we unlock the treasures of Allah's mercy. The treasures of Allah's mercy have no end, but not everyone has and possesses the key to the treasures. Not everyone is able to open the treasures of his mercy. That is why we mentioned one important tradition in the previous episode that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Iyyakum wal kasal." Avoid laziness and dullness, because your Lord is beneficent and grants great rewards for your small acts. This prayer is one of those keys of mercy. But the point is, if the supplicant truly wants to be in this vast ocean of mercy or not. The verse of the Holy Quran says, whatever mercy Allah unfolds for the people, no one can withhold it. This means the keys of mercy and salvation are in the hands of the human beings. But the point is whether they want to use it or not. Dear listeners, we will try to discuss different aspects of prayer as one important key of mercy in the next episodes. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
In the limelight.
A new report shows that social media giants, including Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube, have failed to curb the spread of right-wing extremism and disinformation on their platforms regarding the U.S. midterm elections. Meanwhile, a new poll shows that over 2 in 5 Americans say they are concerned about being subject to intimidation or violence when voting in the midterms. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the details, please. The website of Common Dreams wrote, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube are failing to curb the spread of right-wing extremism and disinformation on their platforms and must immediately implement safeguards with the pivotal U.S. midterm elections less than 2 weeks away, a watchdog has warned recently. In empty promises, inside Big Tech's weak effort to fight hate and lies in 2022, Free Press analyzed the policies of the four social media giants to measure how prepared each one is to combat Trump-backed efforts to sow doubts about upcoming electoral outcomes. According to Free Press, the problem is just as dire in advance of the 2022 U.S. midterms as it was during the nation's 2020 elections. In particular, the report found that the major social media networks have failed to clearly update their election integrity systems in time for the elections, created a labyrinth of company commitments, announcements, and policies that make it difficult to assess what they are really doing, if anything, to protect users, and failed to close what they call newsworthiness or public interest exceptions that give prominent users and politicians a get-out-of-jail-free card and allow them to post lies without consequences from the platforms. Free Press warned that these failures are likely to be felt not only at polling stations on November 8, but also on the streets. The unchecked spread of online lies about the 2020 election fueled real-world violence on January 6, said Nora Benavides, report author and senior counsel and director of digital justice and civil rights at Free Press, adding, and although most people in the United States now believe that big tech should do more to curb the online spread of disinformation and incitements to violence, social media companies keep failing to protect users. As the report notes, Change the Terms, a coalition of more than 60 civil and consumer rights organizations, developed a set of 15 priority reforms for social media companies to implement ahead of the midterm elections that would fight algorithmic applications of hate and lies, protect users across all languages, and increase company transparency. Our coalition, of which Free Press is a founding member, then met with Meta, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube throughout the summer 2022, calling on each company to implement these 15 priority reforms as soon as possible and to share more data about their enforcement practices around election integrity. Although tech companies had promised to fight disinformation and hate on their platforms this fall, there is a notable gap between what the companies say they want to do and what they actually do in practice. In sum, platforms do not have sufficient policies, practices, AI, or human capital in place to materially mitigate harm ahead of and during the November midterms. Benen Davies said, even in writing, platforms like Meta, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube can't commit to the most basic online protections to limit the spread of the disinformation and hate. And in practice, our research shows ongoing gaps in companies' enforcement of their own meager safety policies. She added, these are systematic failures across all of the major social media companies that show how little the companies care about safeguarding elections and fighting extremism and lies on their platforms. After Twitter's new mega billionaire owner, Elon Musk, fired several of the platform's key leaders immediately upon taking over, Benavides warned that content moderation on the site is poised to become even worse. Free Press urged Facebook parent company Meta, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube to take the following steps to stem the spread of bigotry and lies on their platforms, including stop amplifying hate and disinformation content and implement algorithms without discrimination. Protect people equally around the world and across languages through increased resourcing for civic integrity teams year-round and boost transparency about company business models and moderation and enforcement practices, ensuring access to data for external researchers and journalists. We are less than 2 weeks from the U.S. midterms. Ben Davides tweeted, adding, over 30 other national elections have occurred around the world this year, featuring conspiracy theories and lies fanned by online rhetoric that social media companies allow to flourish. What will it take for the culture of big tech to change? What will it take for civil and human rights to become a real priority with evidence to show for it? Meanwhile, the website of Truth Out wrote, over 2 in 5 Americans polled over the past week say they are concerned about being subject to intimidation or violence when voting in the midterms. New polling finds in an alarming show of the state of democracy in the U.S. According to a poll from Reuters Ipsos of over 4,400 U.S. adults, about 43% of Americans say they are worried about facing threats at polling locations. Democrats are more likely to be concerned about violence at about 51% versus Republicans 38%. Likely fueled, at least in part, by the far-right's attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021, Americans are also concerned that groups will carry out violence after the election if they are unsatisfied with the outcome. The poll found, with over 2 in 3 Americans saying as such, the poll comes as there have been reports of armed far-right vigilantes intimidating voters in Arizona. Though there have not yet been reports of violence, the vigilantes have apparently been taking pictures of people using ballot drop boxes and threatening to post their information online. The vigilantes appear to have been galvanized by debunked right-wing claims that so-called ballot mules are stuffing boxes with ballots for Democrats. While there is zero evidence of widespread voter fraud or anything resembling ballot stuffing, the belief appears to have become so entrenched that vigilantes are taking it upon themselves to supposedly guard ballot boxes. Despite having no basis in reality, voter fraud has become a concern among the public as well. The Reuters Ipsos poll found that nearly half of Americans think that voter fraud is a widespread problem, while only 40% disagree. Republicans are more likely to believe in this lie popularized by Donald Trump, with two-thirds of Republicans saying they believe that widespread voter fraud is an issue, and about one-third of Democrats saying as such. There have been other threats to voters from the right. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis' fascist election police arrested 20 people earlier this month, claiming that they knowingly violated election guidelines. But like many others who have been prosecuted for election-related offenses, those arrested were simply unaware of their voter eligibility status. In this case, some of the voters arrested were supposedly previously told that they were eligible to vote, but then they were arrested for illegally registering. At least 13 of the people who were arrested were black. The fact that concerns of violence in relation to casting a vote are so widespread and that there are already reports of intimidation is an alarming show of the erosion of democracy in the U.S. The far right has been ramping up voter suppression efforts in recent years, between the Republican Party's gerrymandering, plans to mass-challenge election results, and infiltrate Democratic majority polling places or bills to flat-out allow Republican officials to overturn election results, experts say the GOP is setting the stage to rig elections so that they never lose or effectively lose despite voters' will again.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of For a Better Life. This is Asma, and as usual, we're going to go through some ideas that might help us improve our life. Actually, I'm not a preacher and I do not have the intention to lecture you as a preacher. It's a heart-to-heart whisper and we'll have some time to think about things that matter the most in our life as human beings. Well, as for today, we are going to talk about motivation and making efforts to change our life. We all know that for every single being in this world, there's a share that's been decided by the Almighty Lord. And He alone is the dispenser of our share in life. He's the one who writes the destiny. And through His providence, we make our living. As we have it in the Holy Book of Quran, chapter and verse number 59, that says, "And with Him are the keys of the invisible. None but He knows them, and He knows what is in the land and in the sea. Not a leaf falls, but He knows it. Not a grain amid the darkness of the earth, not of wet or dry, but it is noted in a clear record." As we see, there is nothing in this world that happens without Allah knowing it or recording it in a clear book. There are some people who believe that no matter what they do, their destiny has been predetermined and there's nothing they can do to change it. They have a rather naturalistic or just let's call it deterministic point of view, which is not true, of course, according to our religion. Allah himself asks us to try to do our best and has promised to shower us with his blessings. So all our efforts are not going to go without any purpose. He has said in the Holy Book of Quran, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, which means that man shall have nothing but what he strives for. And then he says, وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى, and that his striving shall soon be seen. So it clearly tells us to be hardworking and attentive in life and make sure that there is nothing that we could achieve except that we sweat for it. We go for too much of hardworking for it. Then you leave the rest to Allah, plus the fact that our Almighty Lord shall never leave our efforts with no blessings from the skies above. Before we penetrate through motivation and its consequences, let's go for a short break. Stay tuned.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear friends. You are listening to your program for a better life. We are talking about motivation in life and doing our best in achieving our goals, but then leaving the rest to God without feeling sad or depressed for the consequences. Here in this part, we have to point on a very important fact. That is the reason for many of our depressions, and it is, of course, greed. Well, greed and the wish to get more and more of what we desire. Man's needlessness and his satisfaction with what he possesses causes him to feel free from his desires or whatever that is on other people's hand. This is according to our narrations. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "The one who is content with what God has given him is the most needless man in the world." Also, he says, greed is poverty. Now, we've done a session on greed and satisfaction with whatever we have, but since we talk of wish and desire, and inevitably, it's very much important to point out on this very important fact, which is greed, because those who are satisfied and content with their own share would never feel the bitter taste of loss, and they will never get disappointed or depressed because they know that they have done their share of effort and they leave the result to Allah himself. So we went through this very important fact that sometimes when we wish something and we go for it through motivation, therein comes greed. And this greed is going to impede in the middle of our salvation because the greedy people are not very much successful. They always have this wish inside of them, which is going to kill them and which is going to lead them nowhere, because intentions do matter in a religion. Whatever you do for a good intention, then you're going to be blessed with God's gift that comes from the skies. But whenever you do things with a bad intention, with too much of greed, with selfishness, then of course you're not going to get the desired purpose or result that you are counting on. So before we get to the very last part of today's episode, let's go for a short break and then we'll be back. Thank you.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact, our focus should be on ourselves.
Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Welcome back once more. This is For a Better Life. We were talking about motivation, which is very much important in nowadays life, and of course has an important impact on our future. You see that nowadays there are different stages in this world that talk about motivation. There are plenty much of scholars, lecturers who do give some ideas about helping us improve our wish and desire to go on, to carry on, to improve, to try to have efforts in order to get whatever we want. But actually, I do believe that motivation is something that must come from your inside. When you have a soul that is very much connected to the Lord himself, then there is no worries for you, because he is the one who is going to bestow upon you a sort of a feeling, a sort of a wish that is going to make you want to go further, want to improve, want to achieve more. You are more of a flower, more of a tree, let's say, that's got some roots. Those roots are actually your connection with your Allah, with your Lord. And then the leaves of that tree are the efforts that you've done in your life. No matter what, no matter if you have been successful or not, those leaves are going to stay there. And tell you something just right here. Well, at the end of the day, when we are going to appear on the day of judgment, nobody's going to count with whatever you have achieved through your materialistic life. You're going to be judged by your heart, by your mind, by your purity, by whatever that is good that you have helped to grow inside your heart. So at the end, this is the most important thing that counts. So try in your life, be very much motivated, try to even read books that are going to help your motivation to work on, because it's like a tree that you have to water it. And in order to water it, you have to know more, you have to go through much of experiences, talk to some elder people or even younger people who just know different experiences, know different things about how to improve. Go through different things in order just to water your motivation, the tree of motivation inside your soul, and in order to keep going, in order to always find prosperity at the end of the day. And don't worry about the result of whatever effort you make, because I told you, the thing that counts is your experience, is your growth, of course, mental growth, I mean, and the prosperity of your soul and salvation at the end of the day. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Thank you for being with me. Until another session, I leave you to God's protection. May He protect you with His never-slipping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, He knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, He knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, He knows. Every thought I have and every word I share, He
just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli forces have reportedly killed a Palestinian man after he allegedly rammed his car into a group of Israeli soldiers near Jericho, the occupied West Bank.